All right, baby, what's popping? It's the All Day Advocate straight from North Carolina, Jacksonville, North Carolina, to be exact. And you're here with us at the Three Count Podcast. We're going to show you what it's like to be all day. What's up, baby? What's popping?
Do you want to get live with me? Do you really want to ride with me? I'm in the club.
Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast presents Now Entering, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And by our 350-something episode, and you know this is being season four, I would just hope you say with me, I am your Sherpa, because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good Sherpa, it's never about me. You got to find someone who's been there, done that, and can do it more efficiently than you can. And that's why we bring in some experts. And who is entering the ring today? You can find us at Pro Wrestling R. You can find us at Orochi. You can find us at GTS Smash Mouth, Smash Monster, I'm sorry. TCW Super Fighting, SWF, also SFW. He is Mr. All Day James Gray.
What's popping, baby? How y'all living? How you living today?
Hey, yo, I'm living great, man. How you doing?
You know, it's another beautiful day in paradise. I'm blessed to be alive, and I got to make it as many people's problem as I physically can.
It is something fun, man, because, you know, you and I have known each other for a couple years. We just kind of keep running into each other in random places, mm-hmm. whether, you know.
Whether it be a tryout or whether it be, like, somewhere, a tryout somewhere that, like, there's, like, a main live show somewhere. Like, it just... We run into each other at the most unlikely places.
It is super, but it's fun though, because it's like whenever we catch up, it's like it's like two friends that haven't missed a beat though. Because I feel like a lot of people get worried about that sometimes when they're just like freaking out about they freak out. They're like, oh man, like I don't know how to talk to that person. And I feel like you and I, we just like catch up instantly. And it's just like instantly. Yeah, we just lift off right where we pick up.
Because it's
off.
Like it's two people that also realize that like. Humans have lives, and I feel like a lot of people that don't know how to reapproach you, they come into a huge amount of like FOMO. Like they think that like they see you over time, you look different. Like I gotta say, both of us since the last time I saw you, both of us have put on an exceptional amount of muscle in the last time we've seen each other between then and now. I think I was like about like 158, 160. I'm about like 180, 88 right now. Like today I'm 188. I think the other night facing Victor Walker, I was like, I think I billed at 182, but I weighed in that morning at like 186.
Okay. Like, I like that.
It's a lot of like the people, I feel like they don't feel like they've done enough in between that time span where they, you know, they see us, we look different. We're doing new things. We've got new gear. We've got more movement, more waves going on around us.
More experience. That's like the massive part. I remember because the last time, the first time we kind of met, we were talking. I remember because you had we can keep it right 100. You had the Bonnet Club going on, but it was more importantly behind the scenes where you and I were talking because you had different gear and one of the set gears that you had was actually Deadpool inspired.
And then
I remember looking at your gear and I was like, dude, like I kind of want to do that same thing. And then like, I found a guy that could help me get like almost identical to the red gear that Deadpool has. And I was like, bro, I love this gear. And then, you know, three other dudes from Baltimore were like, hey man, like, I was like, how cool would it be if we were all three to be able to like to join up as like a little faction? It would just look weird because like Red Dog doesn't really belong with Pure Ignorance, but it would just be kind of wild to see him. And then, over time, obviously like they're my best friends. So we all just linked up and one thing led to another, and it's just been a wild ride, but in a wild trip to watch you go from where, like you said, you know, you were like 150, now you're like, you know, 185, and then I was weighing. Actually, I went the opposite way. I went from like 215 down to like 195, but I leaned out and then I added mass on and bulked myself back up to like 205. So it's cool to be able to like talk to people and be like, yeah, we noticed the changes.
Yeah, we've gone through an amazing metamorphosis. Pure Ignorance, man, they've been there. I've seen them almost every step of me coming back into wrestling from like stunt work and like film and stuff, working on like indie productions. So like trying to get my foot in the door, like major TV productions, kicking my way through my certain productions. But then like, you know, one day I come to a Comic-Con and I realize that like a couple of TV WWE guys are like this tall compared to me. And I'm like, somebody lied to me when I left wrestling and they told me I wasn't big enough.
No, it's been wild though, because I've been watching like a lot of dudes, and it was funny because I brought this up, like I bring this up on our debate show every once in a while, but like, yo, like I remember, so like AEW, right, we'll use that as an example. They brought on like Luchasaurus, right, and they made Luchasaurus, and remember in the first couple of years they made Luchasaurus seem like he was a monster, like he was like over 7 foot, he was just this dude that could do everything, right? And then they brought in Wardlow, and Wardlow was like relatively about the same size, and then they brought in the Big Show, and then you're just a height difference, like true 7 foots versus guys who say they're 7 foot. And I was like,
it's crazy. Build versus reality.
And then you know, and then like people like talk about Rey Mysterio, and they talk about Rey Mysterio being, you know, 5'9". I'm like, well, I'm 5'10", and I look down at Rey Mysterio, like, and I I'm like, he's not five. He's not 5'10". Oh my god,
it's the same. With Adam Cole, who is also apparently 5'10". And I think it's like Adam Cole and Bobby Fish are apparently 5'10". I want to say Sean Hardy, or the Commando dude. He was on Dark a lot. Because me and him used to get me and him used to get mixed up, because I also had the blonde mohawk at the time.
Right.
And now I don't even know what I'm doing with my hair. It changes every couple of weeks. Like, literally. Saying,
the last time I saw you, you didn't have like the, you didn't have the zigzag.
No. I had it half and half, but off center. So if I turned to my left a little bit, it looked like I was completely blonde. But if you walked up to me from behind, it looked like my hair was all black. It really confused fans at shows. And then my hair grew out, and part of the fade from the blonde turned into like this weird uneven mohawk. And now the biggest problem I have with the older fans is being mistaken for Cheeseburger. So,
oh man, that's funny though. And it's like you're trying your best to like differentiate yourself from everybody else, and then like that you get confused. I know it happens to pure ignorance all the time. Like,
oh man,
Chaz gets mistaken for Noah, or Noah gets mistaken for Prince, and Prince is like, yo, I don't look like either one of these two dudes.
No, they all look completely different to me. They all look completely different. I guess you could be like, oh, but you know, they like the brown skin and the dreads. And I'm like, okay, but like, if you throw a rock and your only descriptor is brown skin and dreads, they're gone. They've gotten away already. It's over. Like the chase is finished. Unless you plan on arresting 10 people every city block. There's no catching them on that. But like knowing them and seeing them in like face to face, they don't look anything the same.
Yo, so we were having this interesting discussion right before we jumped on, right? We were talking about working with like different people and stuff like that, home promotions that are like willing to bring in other talent, and then like scouting your talent, and then like researching on them and doing match studies. And you were talking about how you had like a huge list of like matches that you needed to go watch because there's people that you want to work, you know, and how can you put on a banger of a match if you don't know what your opponent's doing? So I'm curious, like, what are the, outside of like a move list, like what kind of people are you looking at to work with?
I would like to have a lot of like dynamic people to work with, like people that would be able to adapt to like uncertain styles. Like every like, it's weird to describe, because like everybody in wrestling has their five moves of doom, you know, they're John Cena moves.
Yeah.
But I want to know the people, I want to face people who like can squeeze those moves of doom in and still come up with something completely new each time they go in the ring. Cause some people, you know, it's a wrestle by numbers. I caught a quick lecture last night, I want to say last night or Saturday, about doing crazy moves, dynamic moves when there's a small amount of people. But like, you get in trouble from certain promoters for doing what they call popping the boys. Yeah. But it's like Victor Walker, when I got booked against him, he's from Virginia, really great dude, very brave dude. He's like me. I'm blind as a bat, but I wrestle with contact lenses in. He just drops his glasses and says, all right, let's get in there. No contacts, no nothing. So when I was studying his matches, he's got all his stuff on there on YouTube. He has great movement, great persona, great look. He's like 6'3", about like 170, I want to say like 170, 171. We had a nice conversation about bulking up and everything, but he was, once I saw him, like once I saw his moves and I saw like how he interacts, I knew that we would have a good interaction if we didn't just do the wrestle by numbers, John Cena stuff. And we absolutely killed each other in that ring. It was Mark's ring up in Northeast, up by like Smashmaster and everything.
Yeah.
He's got like the wooden boy. If you don't fall right on that, it rejects you. But he's one of the people I would say by example. You check him out. His Victor Walker, spelling his handle just like in general is one of the hardest things to do because it's just an assortment of letters. It's not even like a name. It's like at ICCYV32. And he's good worker, good guy. Came all the way up from Virginia. We threw hands and everything was good. Had supposed to branch into our wider picture of me poking the bear that is the entire DMV area. And messing with guys down there and just like facing people off from down there. It's a completely different world. If anything, like I'm kind of jealous of like the drive and the directive that comes out of that area. Cause like I come across a lot of bums in the, like, it's, I don't want to bury any, a territory or a section. I come across a lot of bums in New Jersey cause there's no laws. It's a lawless wasteland. It's a lot of just people that are just like, yeah, man, let's just hop in there and do it. What do you mean? I fought in a playground for 5 years. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Yo, like facing off against a lot of these DMV guys, facing off against New York people. It's really like invigorated my personal drive to fight and interact with people online and create promos and stuff. And like, I headhunt a lot. I add to my list. I also have what's called a slouch list of guys that are I have a headhunters list and a slouch list, and the slouch list is like I can watch it, but you're probably not going to see me in those ropes, like between those ropes on that promotion. Yeah, man, it's scouting is probably one of my favorite things to do right now.
It's interesting too, because it's one of those things that I like to do is like I would be real. I am a DMV guy, right? And then I moved to the Northeast. And it's been like such a nice kind of ordeal to sit back and go to something like the Wrestling Open every Thursday and just watch the talent work, right? Watch their core guys and then kind of see them branch out and then watch them at different promotions and see like, all right, cool. You're at Frontier. All right, cool. I'm watching you here. You're at Focus Pro. Okay, cool. I'm watching you there. I'm watching you at, at Beyond itself, right? Because Beyond has their own shows. Go over to Chaotic and watch them at Chaotic Wrestling, and you're just seeing all this talent work, and you're like, wow. And you just keep like elevating and pulling. And then you have something like, the Wrestling Independent, right? So they just ran their first show, and then there's a lot of talent there, and you're just like, wow, man, like you get like, I forget like how big wrestling is, and just in the Northeast, not even talking about the whole entire U.S., just the Northeast itself, it's massive. And I'm like, bro, this East Coast thing is no joke. Like, If you can make it between, and I tell people, if you can make it between the DMV and Massachusetts, you can go anywhere. You can work anywhere.
Yeah, because I feel like up in the Northeast, we're packed in like sardines. So it's like, it's a constant arms race, constant clawing, constant fighting to get noticed, to separate yourself from what's going on around you. That goes into scouting, making sure that making sure somewhere you go, you can help the product and the product can help you.
Yeah.
Like making yourself, you don't have to make yourself a cornerstone everywhere you go, but what's the point of putting in the energy, putting your body on the line, putting possibly your life on the line if someone that you're with isn't as experienced as you, if you don't plan on elevating what you found? Like you show up, you make it better than what you found it. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's important too. And that's like, I brought it up like a few times at a couple other different promotions and stuff. And I was like, listen, like I have this podcast, right? right here, this show. And the reason I have this show is because I want it to be like a college course for people. When they come on, they see it, they pick something out, they learn something new from it. And I think it's important. It's like, you know, I want to find it. And like you just said it right best. Like, I want to find something that makes the business better than when I got in. And I don't remember ever being a podcast where, or anything that's like, hey, yo, we're going to just talk about wrestling. And this is kind of a workers podcast. Like if you're a worker, you might want to listen because there's something here for everybody to check out. And I think it's I love the fact that you talk about scouting and then having your slouches. I love that aspect of it. I might have to borrow that, and I might have to start doing that. I just go around, just write a top 10 people like I want to work in, a top 10 people that I'm going to stay away from, and just not tell anybody like, who the slouches are.
Yeah, it's pretty much like it saves you a bit of time. It when you do it, when you make those two lists, it yin and yang, it creates the balance. It's, you got to make sure you're not a person who suffers from FOMO.
Yeah.
Cause like you'll have this place you want to visit, but it absolutely violates your slouch list. Like it is red flag central. It is okay to go and watch, but like, don't get dragged in that. Cause then like you could end up stuck in one spot. And it's like, it's one of the main fears I have in entertainment is like getting stuck or getting too comfortable. You got to evolve. You got to upgrade. And being stuck on the bad side of that yin and yang will get you compliant. Will get you stuck in place. Cause like you'll know personally, like, well, I'm better. Like you'll think personally because you put these people this place on your slouch list. Oh, whatever. I'm better than this. I'm doing that. You go there, you do a match. Everyone's like, wow, you should stick around. We could put a tie. We could do this. We could do that. And then like you get too comfy. The gut comes in, you slow down. And now you, without even realizing, you're on everybody's slouch list.
Yeah. It's one of those things. Like you have to remember, like you have to continue to elevate your game and continue to, and grow like, the importance of like, you know, like you said, you're putting in and you want to make sure that everybody there is on the same level or the same mindset that you have. Right. So it's very important that you continue grow, continue pushing, continue elevating the rest of the guys and then making sure that they're putting in the work that you're putting in. Right. I know like for me, one of the things that I like doing and it keeps me on a constant reminder, right. Like in my travel bag, right. With all my gear, there's a sponge in there. And low key, the reason why the sponge is in there is just to remind myself that, hey, you're here to soak up knowledge. And if people aren't there to give you knowledge, then there's really no need to just come back. Like there's just not. So like, you know, and I feel like it's important to do and to continue to check out.
Yeah, no, it's. It's also like a rough battle right now, just trying to get placement in some of these spots. Like there's a lot of folks that are out there, these people, there's a lot of folks that are out there that don't realize that, that like getting in the door in some of these promotions is already hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, they don't think about the fact that like, once you're there, what are you going to do when you get there? Who are you going to talk to? What are you going to, it's not always about put the ring together and brown nose. And then suddenly you got a title shot. It's hard to put the words on it, but like with what you said, with like the sponge, you need to be able to like walk in there, you get your foot in the door, you help out the best way you can. You try to soak up as much as you can. But once you've now built this rapport, you've now stuck around, where are you going from here?
Yeah.
How can you help the next guy, the next set of youngins that are also picking up chairs, picking up boards, picking up pieces of the ring, and like keep the business flowing? You know, you don't want to be that person that dams up everything. That like you end up being that guy that's got like, hey brother, I got 30 years of experience in this business. I was the one. I put the robe on Ric Flair's back. I was there. I told the Hardy Boys when they held that curtain open, I told them stand exactly like this. I was there for it, brother. But like all they've done is get beat up in South Jersey since 1995. You know,
bruh, If I think about, like, I've heard that a lot, that term. Actually, recently I've heard that term a lot. The 30-mile vet, right? Like the person mm-hmm. that just does the 30-mile circuit and that's it. Like they don't want to go nowhere. They want to be nowhere. They're just content with what they're doing. And it's weird to think that, you know, you got into this, like you get into this business because let's be real. Everybody's like aiming for the top spot, top spot. Like we all of us dreamed one day of like, we want a main event WrestleMania. And anybody that tells you, nah, I just thought it'd be cool to like, not that I'm trying to shit on anybody, right? I just thought it'd be cool to be like in my local area and then, you know, just like do this for like 30 years, work one match a year.
30 years.
Be a 30-year veteran. Like no one did that. No one said that. At some point, like you compromised your own dream, your own drive. Yep. You're like, well, I may not get here, so I'll just do this. Or I might not get there, so I might just do that. Like, no. At when you first got into this, it was like, hey, man, like, I'm going to WWE. But then what's so funny is how many people get jaded because they like, well, I'm a trained professional. Like, I'm a trained professional wrestler. Why isn't WWE scouting me? Like, there's a lot of you and a lot more people who are putting in, like, a giant amount of grind to get to that next level. And you're sitting here still in the same 15-mile radius and you're trying to tell people like, hey, I'm the best in this region. Like, bro, nobody knows you outside of your no one knows you outside your town, let alone the state, let alone the area.
Yeah, man. It's self-promotion is like one of the biggest beasts in entertainment industry. Like, a lot of folks don't realize how hard it is to just break out of your city, break out of your folds, break out of everything. And it's like, I get a couple of fans that'll see me on like Instagram Live on like TikTok or something. And they're like, I would love to see you on WWE fighting this guy. And I'm like, you know, like right place and right time it is for me at like over 30 years old, less over 30, less than 50,000 followers on everything. For now, it could blow up. You know, I could blow up. I could do some crazy ass stunt and blow up next year, like next month in like March or February or something. You never know where entertainment's going to take you.
Right.
I could botch in such a hilarious way that like someone wants to see if I can do it again on purpose. You know, you never know what entertainment thing that's going to stick. Like, who thought James Ellsworth was going to come back after he got bodied by Braun Strowman? Who looked at this dude and was just like, damn, why, how did this happen? Like, you know, who thought he was going to be moonwalking down the ramp with Carmella? You know, it's right place, right time at this point in the ballgame. You know, you gotta know what you're doing and what you're building towards.
It's funny because I've actually asked James about that moment, about what was it like, you know, and he was telling me about how exactly. It was like, it was a right place, right? So it was him. He's in a tryout position, and Arn Anderson had asked him to throw a punch, right? So he throws his punch, and Arn thought it was a mistake. So he's like, yo, do it again. So he does it again, and he's like, okay, so you can throw a punch. He's like, can you talk? And so they gave James that 10 seconds, right, of that one line where he was just like, any man with two hands got a fighting chance. And then because he sold so well for Braun, WWE, one of the writers was like, I think he could do something with him. And so, like, they brought him in, and then that was it. Like, he just, you saw what happened. Like, he just blew up. And, like,
it's the magic of show business. It's the magic of show business, but it's also kind of like a curse because then, like, you get pigeonholed real fast. If you're not, if you break in and you don't evolve from there. When I worked in music, I would always tell people, like, one of my main focuses was to make sure people's music and their sound sold to YouTube, sold to Netflix, got used for commercials and stuff. And one of the things I would tell people, you do what you got to do so you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the prime examples that I give folks and a lot of the musicians didn't like it, was always Kanye West. And we wouldn't have, there's a good 18 years of hip hop that we wouldn't have at all without Kanye West.
It's 100%.
Like there's so many albums from so many artists, so many features, so many samples, so much stuff we wouldn't have without him doing the grinding he had to do that, you know, eventually led to the Yeezy Yeezus and the everything we have now. Like and I can only feel like it's overwhelming once you get it right. Like once you get what you got to do right and you've gotten to that point where you blossom into what you want to do, and like it could eat you alive like Chance the Rapper, or you know, you explode into something that becomes an irresistible force, like Taylor Swift from Butt Crack PA is now an international force, and if you say anything mean about her, you might as well just deactivate your Twitter for 6 months.
Hey, you know what? It's funny you bring that up, because so those who are gonna, we'll figure out the date of when we recorded this when you see it. But yesterday was the Patriots versus the Chiefs at Gillette, and every time, I don't know if you saw Twitter or not, but like Swifties were going after Patriot fans like left, right, and center, because every time they put Swift on the screen, the crowd instantly booed her, and then they would show like a Patriot fan, and the Patriot fans would be like, "Yeah!" Put Swift back on, boo! And
oh my god,
hilarious, bro! Because I was like, "Hey, yo, we are really out here booing Taylor Swift because she's dating Travis Kelce." I was like,
"Yo,
this is godsend right now. This is life."
And and football fans are a completely different monster.
Yeah.
Like they're a completely different monster. Football fan, like football in general, especially football in Philly, that is an absolute beast of like those people get worked up and then all of Center City is shut down for a week. Philly's fan, and like, but if they lose, they're like, we'll get them next year. Philly's fans, win or lose, a car is getting flipped. And poles are getting greased up, cars are getting flipped, people are freaking out, the bars are getting shut down. I'm actually kind of excited to see what happens with the Eagles this year, because I feel like this city needs a major win after last year, a major win of some sort, because the way the energy was sucked clean out of the city after they didn't cinch the Super Bowl was nuts. And that's me. Coming, being a person from North Carolina, with the Panthers, where my only wish for the Panthers every year is don't be last in the conference. That's all I want ever.
Man, listen, I'm wearing a Nebraska hoodie. That's where I was raised, right? I was born in Colorado Springs, so all my teams come from the 5280, like just 100%. That's where we are. That's what we rep, and it was so funny when, like, the Broncos last year, man, we were just trash. And I was like, bro, we're not doing anything good. And I know this is a wrestling podcast, but y'all are going to have to hear this.
Yeah.
But it was wild because I was like, yo, we suck. And then this year, Sean Payton came in and I was like, we still suck. And then we had this 5-game win streak. And I was like, hey, yo, we might actually do something here. Like, I think I'm gonna flip my script about this. I think people around here.
Oh, if I look up what my team is doing right now, I'm probably gonna cry. I don't even wanna. I'm gonna wait to the postseason. I'm gonna see what kids they think they're gonna bring in next year. I need next year's football season to start, because this year's Panthers hurts.
We just go.
It hurts in here. Yeah. I'm still gonna get a set of gear to commemorate the colors and where I came from. Because, like, even if they don't win, I'm still going to body some people in the ring. Somebody's bringing it back to North Carolina. But it's certainly not them right now.
Someone's got to win in North Carolina.
Like, the entirety of sports down there is carried by DPW, Jay the God, and, you know, all the stars out in North Carolina. The Hardy Boys, you know, we bring it back to North Carolina when the Panthers don't. It's fine.
Someone's gonna bring this title back to Carolina, and if it can't be the Panthers, we're gonna go somewhere else. Hey, so speaking of, you know, with Jay the God and everybody, you coming up and you being a part of like Black Renaissance, right? Like, you guys are like kind of trying to change the game in aspect of what you're trying to like accomplish. So, I asked this question. I love this question, and I love asking this question because, like, because Chaz, I asked Chaz the same kind of question, right? Like, what are you looking to imprint that's going to help elevate minority wrestling?
Oh, man, the entirety of the work we do for Pro Wrestling R and Orochi Pro Wrestling. Orochi is like, you know, Tyler, most of his friends are people of color. He's one of the coolest people I've worked with. Uncle Ron Starr out there, you still got to answer for getting knocked out on your own show and then not getting the pin at the following show. Black Renaissance was 10 toes down, but you weren't. But the entirety is just bringing a spotlight to these wrestlers. Because if you know, like, if you really look at the entire game of wrestling, it's beautiful now. It's full of color now. But it's kind of like majority of these shows, all the undercard, all the workhorses are people of color, whether they be Black, Spanish. I think like Asian is probably like the smallest representation in the States.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, you know, there's probably tons more Asian wrestlers out there. I just haven't seen them because, like, right, the representation, the platform isn't there for them yet. They're going to get there. If you're out there, I will find you and I will be watching your matches. But the work that we do is primarily, like, we want to highlight these wrestlers of color, because you go to all these places and, like, a card, like a roster will consist of, like, let's say 35 wrestlers, for example. 22 of them will be Black and Spanish. And then, like, the rest is, like, you know, the same white dudes. And it'll probably be, like, the same, like, Caucasian, Italian American, fighting Irish guy, guy from city. And they're so a handful of them will have a really good gimmick. The other handful is, I'm from this town and I'm a really good wrestler.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes for them. That's all it takes for them. And they're the top of that card. And that's what creates your 30 mile vets.
Yeah.
Because those guys at the very top, they only wrestle each other. They're only friends with each other. And then the entirety of the workhorse area, they get shuffled around. And so you see those 22 guys you'll see those 22 other guys in at least in a span of 6 months, you'll see them on 19 flyers, all of them. And like the shows that put forward wrestlers of color, you will see that, you'll see what they can actually do there. You'll see what they can actually do over there. You're never going to see them, what they can do in this one, where the top 15 are the same dudes.
Yeah.
And it's like, it creates some friction, because then you get those people that are like, oh, that's just that Black show. That's just that. And it got to the point, I think at one point around the beginning, like, it was literally, someone was like, oh, that's that Hard R show. You know, like pro wrestling R, and the R stands for, you know, Hard R. And but the funny thing about the people who talk about these shows, and I think the animalistic aggression, it comes down to me personally, I think it's jealousy. They see a platform. They see a platform on the rise that's interacting with all these names flowing in and out. They see excitement. They see Twitter engagement that's organically 10 to 20K views without spending a penny for promo. And they're missing out. They don't know how to get in on it. They don't know how to connect. They don't know how to get in there. But for those guys who have said that, and those guys who are going to hear this, I have seen your resume. I have personally seen your resumes pop up in the Pro Wrestling R booking email. You're not slick. You're corny. You're very corny for the stuff you say. And you think it won't get around to people, but it does. Everybody in wrestling talks. Even the promoters that hate each other on Facebook, they talk. Everybody knows everybody. You think Jimmy John, the slam man up in Rhode Island doesn't talk to Dirty Ralph from Miami? No, they know each other. Their wrestlers fly back and forth. Even if you haven't seen them, their wrestlers fly back and forth. Networking is a beast that will push. It's like karma. Networking, the right people, the right limp handshake and how you doing and folding a chair can get you at the top pantheon here. But at the same time, it can get you stabbed in the back and jobbing out and thrown headfirst on the apron somewhere else, you know? Yep. And what I want to build towards at this point in wrestling is trying to get as many younger guys a good platform, good fights, good matches, good things they can put on their resume. Because you never know, that 23-year-old, I beat him or I put him over. It was a crazy match. But that 23-year-old kid's got a really good future ahead of him. Me, I could be done tomorrow. I'm trying to edit personally, but I could be done tomorrow. I want to see the younger guys. I want to help the younger guys network. I want to help the newer guys, like the people that I know are really good but are really bad at social media. That's what I want to do. Like, I want to bridge the gap between guys with extreme talent, but they don't know how to talk on social media or in their videos or how to interact. Now, like, I'd like to see more promotions utilize social media in the nasty, dramatic way that we all know it's there for. You've been a victim of the timeline of Auntie Lala.
I feel like I willingly jumped into the fire with three other friends of mine with no disregard.
I'm not talking about our interaction. I'm talking about the love triangle the love decahedron that is prolific Ruthless Lala, Tiberius, Isaiah Wolf.
Yes, that part.
Now there is animosity naturally, city versus city. Everyone's like, oh, the territories are gone. But what would be more entertaining in Philadelphia this Mania season than Tri-State versus Tri-State, New York, Jersey, PA versus the DMV?
Yeah.
What would be more entertaining than that? Even if it was like a show of just matches. Give me an 8-match card with representatives from each weight class and each type of division. Give me a trios, a tag, 2 women's matches, 2 heavyweights, and then let's say like 2 major champions fighting, and like, you know, one guy's got to get over on the other, or just stalemate it and let them go home and deal with the drama their own way.
Yeah.
And I want more places to be open to collaboration. I want more places to realize that bad girls club style of interacting on social media, that Jersey Shore, that we talk trash on Twitter, and then once anybody shows up in the other person's city, it's on. And that brings eyes in there. I'm talking like SpongeBob and Patrick opening Mr. Krabs' map to the Dutchman's treasure that puts the eyes on the product, you know?
Yeah. It's wild, man, because like I love like just good like banter like on Twitter. Like, and I know not everybody is on Twitter, and I know some people will consider like Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, they can't consider like a dead social media platform, but it's very much alive when it comes to like the wrestling community. Like, a lot of people are always talking shit. And
constantly.
But it's fun because like when it's a group of workers like getting involved and just like talking smack, like it is a beauty to watch. And I it's funny because like when I got into like the whole mess with Pure Ignorance, I was like, what do you guys need from me? I was like, you know, I'm here for whatever. And they're like, we'll just do whatever we can do and just, you know, cause chaos. I was like, cool, let's get it. That's all it is.
Yeah. And I like that comes down to gimmick, you know. A lot of people, they all want to be chaotic. They all want to be evil. They all want to be like fourth wall breakers. And like, they want to do all this like crazy stuff. But I feel like it's a really small handful. Like, let's say there's like the grandma's big bowl of strawberry candy of so many people that want a crazy gimmick, but it gets really stale because they're missing pieces and it doesn't feel genuine. And then there's that handful of people that pull off a crazy gimmick. They pull off the references. They pull off the nonsense in the ring. Like, I feel like you're one of those people that does it really well. Like, I've been to so many places where people like they idolize their crazy characters, their Rick Sanchez's, their Deadpools, their Gwenpools, what have you, their fourth wall breaking characters, but like it doesn't feel like they really believe in what they're doing. Yeah. They just like the reference material. Whereas there's some people, there's those people that get it across. It looks good, feels good. It's entertaining. The kids are into it. The adults get the references, and it doesn't need to be cringy or like full of cursing or like something psychotic going on. Like that's where it, where we're in gimmick. Like that's a very important piece. Like, I feel like I personally miss that all the time. Like, I miss that mark here and there, up and down. But, like, I don't know. In the next phase, it's going to get very interesting.
Always. It should. And it should always stay interesting. Like, you should always look to evolve and push on how much you can not really, I don't want to say offend, right? But you could push the line and see how far you can push the line. And I feel like that's something, like, that I like doing is, like, yeah, I'm going to make this like quip like in the ring and then like push that quip out as far as I can push it. And then even like in my promos or in my on my Twitter banter, right? Like I'm always looking to like push that limit, but never like break it, right? Because at the end of the day, man, you're not trying to get canceled, but you are trying to like see how many people. It's like I want people to watch like my promos or watch me perform like they watch Shrek. Like, yeah, you know, there's a lot there's of adult jokes in there, but you still want to watch it because it's fun.
Yeah, the reference material, the constant reference material, the fact that you can rewatch it, the fact that anyone could pick up the product and know what's going on right there. Yeah.
And you and I, right? When we were kind of bantering back and forth on Twitter, and then you're like, "There's a lot of dangerous places here." I was like, "I've been to a lot of dangerous places too," and I just like. Yeah, put up a picture of me in the Civil War.
Like the Civil War, a Revolutionary War, someone's Thanksgiving dinner.
I wanted that. Okay, so let me explain that one, because if a lot of people out there are going to be like, I don't understand the thing. They're not going to understand the Thanksgiving dinner, but there is a joke about a certain group of people who don't know how to use certain seasonings in their food. And I wanted that to look super dangerous when I put it out there. Like I've been to these people's Thanksgiving. How much more dangerous can we get?
We gotta like you think I'm not dangerous? You think I'm not deadly? And then just post a picture of you sitting at a table with 10 Popeyes biscuits and no drink.
And no drink.
This was my dinner last night. Welcome to the Salty Splatoon. How tough are you?
Yeah. I think those are like so much fun to do. It's just like getting all these like fun little references and putting it out there, especially when certain people are just waiting because they know, like, you know, it's I started that whole Red Dog in history thing because I wanted it to just do something like Red Dog found a time machine and now like he's just going through history and not changing history, but just like putting himself in like random places that he doesn't necessarily belong. Like I put myself on the Titanic, like, and at that, like you have to zoom in to find me. And it's like a Where's Waldo deal. I was
so when is the book? When does the book drop for the Where's Red Dog series? You need a series of clothing. Of different pictures, different stuff, like old paintings. What's the Day in the Park painting that basically modeled the art style for the original 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah,
that Day in the Park painting. We need you in like old French clothing, just on that pond side. Like we definitely need some remixed Where's Waldo pictures. We should get some photos of you in crowds at shows, just full randomly. Deadpool suit, like.
It's know what's funny about it though is could you imagine though like just do like a Where's Red Dog book, right? But when you open, it's just obvious. It's not like it's hidden, like, cause you know everybody's like looking for Waldo, right? No, like you open up the first page, there's like a picture of JFK and like me next to him. And you're like, oh my God. He's right there. Like, what the hell kind of book is this? And then you got to flip through because you're like, why is he just here randomly?
It's just like, okay, he's there. The next picture, he's right there. Yeah, and then like the fourth or fifth one, you're not there at all. not actually that. It's just a random picture at a concert, and we just let people spend thousands in copies of this book trying to see if you're actually there.
Did you find? I think I found him. I think he's in a front row. No, that would be too obvious. He's in the back row. No. I mean, you would think that he'd be somewhere in the middle.
No, he's definitely, I think he's the bartender way in the back. No.
I think he's playing guitar on the stage.
The Red Dog character in general is one of my favorites. What was the pieces that you smithed together to land where you are now as Red Dog? I'm sure you've been asked before, right?
So with the Red Dog character himself, is not too far off from me personally, because when I do the whole intro, right, that Air Force veteran intel specialist, that's a real thing. I was in the Air Force, I was an intel specialist, that's what I did, right? And so I wanted, when I got into wrestling, I thought your trainer just gave you your gimmick and that's how it worked. Cause in WWE, you're a wrestler and this, right? You're not coming up with anything. So when my trainer, Sicken, right, was he was like, yo, I want you to be a military dude, but you gotta do the military thing, the normal military thing. I was like, I don't understand. He's like, well, a mercenary, but you gotta be very serious and very stoic, and you gotta you have a plan, and you're not too emotional and stuff like that. And I was like, oh man, you have no idea what people are like in the military.
Yeah.
It was 6 months of me trying that, and it was fun because it started getting over. People were getting adapted to it, but I told Sicken, I was like, yo, I'm not really connecting with it because it just feels forced, right? Something that we've talked about. But then he was like, all right, well then you cut a promo that you want to. And it just so happened that Jeremy Grimes was at training too. And we were going back and forth, just shooting on each other just as for fun. But the shots were just from me were coming out more comedic. And then he was just jumping in, cause he's very good at what he was doing. And so Nick finally was just like, all right, bro, you gotta stop. That's how you're gonna cut all your promos. You just gotta be funny with it. Be more Deadpool. Find other characters like that. So I went and found Octane from Apex, because I think he's fucking hilarious.
Yep.
And then of course Deadpool.
That was my main for a long time in Apex too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Shameful Octane, absolute raccoon paws. I'm stealing all the items first. the worst. That's why I don't have anyone to play Apex with anymore, because I'm awful with that, with stealing items.
But I pulled from him. I pulled from Deadpool, obviously. Spider-Man was another big one I pulled a lot from. And then I was looking for guys who were very comedic and good comedic timing, but they weren't overly funny. So Robert Downey Jr. I think is one of those dudes. Iron Man, Tony Stark, he's just got good comedic timing. And then and recently it's been Chad Gable, because Chad's just hilarious. So I've been looking for other places to pull from, but it just becomes one of those things where I'll watch a movie and I'll think about it and I'm like, bro, that's actually kind of low-key a funny line that you can spin. And so another one I started doing too, and I have it in a promo that's coming soon, but I'll answer the phone, I'm like, yo, Red Dog, what's your favorite color? Right from Elf. I think all these slapstick comedy movies, and I'm like, yo, what lines could I pull from these movies that would just make shit hilarious? And that's where Red Dog became it's a lot of me turned up to 11, but then it's I pulled from little bits of characters here and there. One thing I want to do one day too is cut a promo Chris Jericho, but have a stack of papers fall out and just act I'm gonna read a bunch of words. I've got a full essay right here and I'm about to read it all for you to piss you off, and then drop it and it'd be
and it just
hello
unfolds.
And it's
hello world. Coding joke. Hello world.
Yeah.
Roll it all right back up. Throw it over your shoulder.
Walk out.
That's the whole promo.
I have an important message right here. Enjoy. Just walk out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming. And yes, enjoy yourselves.
Yeah, enjoy.
Start eating the paper.
Tip your waiters. But yeah, exactly. I just think all the wildness of him. And the funny thing is I cut a promo one time, showing off that Deadpool, Red Dog is not just a slouch, right? Because I cut a whole promo on Diego Trabajador where I was speaking Spanish. Not because it was something that I can do. Well, I can do, right? Because I'm fluent in it. But like, I wanted to show off, like, yo, this guy is, he's a genius in his like weird, crazy way. Like, yeah. So I went through, I did a whole montage of me like watching salsa videos, watching his videos, like reading the Spanish English dictionary to understand one word in the whole entire thing, and then like just talk to Spanish the rest of the promo. I thought it was hilarious, and I was like, well, it just shows that Red Dog like understands multiple languages because that's what he wants to do. Like, he's gonna be able to one day, he'll be like, je m'appelle Ruchien, right? Speaking in French, like, yo, my name's Red Dog. Like, you just want him to be able to say things and do things in other areas that people can be like, I don't know why he wants to do that. Because he, fuck it, because he can. That's why.
Yeah, and then it comes down to, like, you, if you wrestle people from other places, other languages, you get that reference material down. Like, you get those references down. Like, say you end up in a fight, like, Trabajador is there. Like, somebody only speaks Portuguese is there, somebody speaks French is there, and you stop and you say one zinger in each language. And like, so I was like, how many languages do you know? But you turn and you say all of them, but not in English. Like,
the point, I think the thing I want to do too is like, one time I'm just going to be like, I'm just going to say like, my name is Red Dog in like 13 different languages. Like, that's going to be like the goal. And then when people look at me and be like, yo, does he really speak all these languages? Like, I don't know. I can't tell because he's fluent. He's definitely fluent in Spanish. I know that for sure. But I'm not quite sure if he speaks French or German or Russian or Chinese.
That adds to the mystery of it. You know, right. Like, you know, but and like as an and as like intelligence, like, working in that, you never know what you could pull out of the
bag. Yeah.
And like, you could be mid promo and then just like someone would be like, man, you don't actually know anything, you can't threaten me or this, that, and then your response is immediately their home address. Like, yeah. Like, it was like 329 Hillshire Road, right? That's where grandma lives. Oh, you wouldn't know, you're a bad grandson. And like that kind of stuff.
I just want, like, just make up street names, right? And be like, I see you live on 15 French Bread Road. I'm like, that's not my real address. Yeah, but I know where it is. That way.
Like, it's exactly 132 miles due northeast from this exact spot. There is a Panera Bread. A nice young lady named Stephanie.
Yeah, she helped me out. She's great. She gave me two supercharged lemonades, and I thought they were great.
I chugged them both, woke up at the Tupac concert, realized I couldn't stay, so I came back, and now I'm here to wrestle you.
Yeah, I think Red Dog's like origin, like his, because the funny thing is like, no one knows his origin. So I'm gonna be honest, I tell everybody, shoot wise, I don't even know his origin story. But it's because like, I love creating the aspect of a new origin story every single time. Like, yeah. I've used it where I was walking down a dark alley when both my parents were slain, right? I was in a sewer and I got some ooze spilled on me with these four other turtles. I've like done all these like fun like origin stories because I think it's fun. It adds to this mystery of this mercenary who like people just don't like, they're like, I oddly relate to him, but I also like don't know shit about this dude at all.
See, that's kind of like, like it has a nice flow to it. It has free space. It has like places to move. That's where like the silliness of when we were doing the Bonnet Club comes in. Like, that was my first taste of wanting to get people that I saw that should have a bigger platform, wanting to get them over. Cause I knew how to shake the hands and high five, bump elbows with the right people to just be to just pop up somewhere, and I wanted to make sure people I came across got up there. So they're like, what is the Bonnet Club about? And I'm like, hair care, who knows, you know, we pull up, we're wearing silk bonnets, someone calls it a shower cap, and I tell them that they have dandruff, and then we fight. And the first few people are like, wow, that's a great idea, just come on. Like, and it happened on accident. Like, I was literally waking up. I was late for a booking, and I still had my bonnet on because I had really long hair at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the products on my head and stuff. I go there. We plan the show and everything. We plan the match. The match goes on. And, you know, I go over for like a hardcore title or something. And at the very end of the match, like, you know, I'm going to sell. I touch my head and it's still on my head. And I was like, oh, damn. And then everyone cheered when I finally took it off. Because like, and I was like, oh, my bad. And I just put it back on and limped back out. And a few folks were like, oh, you should keep doing that. I don't know what the point of that thing is on your head, but you should just keep doing it. And so I brought it to GTS and I kept going with it. And it was the insinuation that there were more people is what got the ball rolling until I was like, until I got to a point where someone was like, yeah, Bonnet Club, that's a group, right? Yeah, can you bring some people? And I sat there and I realized I don't have any people.
Nobody.
Like it was one of those like, yeah, so the club is me and the fans that I throw bonnets at. Like that was the start of the gimmick. I went to the local hair store. I started ordering them from Amazon, but like I went to the local hair store. I bought like 15 bonnets and I would just throw them at a couple people in the crowd. Like some folks would come up to me after the match and want me to sign it. Some folks, you know, and the first time I was asked to do a tag team match as the Bonnet Club, I didn't have anybody. it was literally just me acting a fool. And then that's when I was like, well, I've got these spots coming up, and there were people before I even had a tag team that were like, this is a great idea. Kids love it. Families love it. How would you like you bring your boys over, anybody in your group over, we'll put some tag titles on you and we'll see what we could do about pushing it out there. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll talk to me and my other personalities because I don't have anybody. And that's how I met. I think at the time I was doing LTW. I was wrestling with it was right as I dropped the LTW tag titles. I was with Red Dragon Batsu Kusanagi. Mm. He was my tag team partner. Me and him were really good. We worked really good together. I asked him to join. I asked Inhodible MB. Mm,
he
was my tag team partner for a long time. And Hyena Hex were the first people I asked to join. So in our current standings, the longest running members is Hyena Hex. He's the longest person that I've had a tag link to. We didn't tag that often, but we still had like a tag link. And it was initially I was inviting people by city because people in different cities were inviting me out to bring the Bonnet Club. But like I didn't have anybody with me. So I was like, hey, you already live like Hex, you're from Delaware. When I come down to Delaware and do Bonnet Club, let's tag. And he said, yeah, sure, man. Just let me know whenever. Me and Inhodible, we were Philadelphia and like anywhere South Jersey. I had because he lived in Philly, so we could travel out of Philly, do PA and stuff.
Mm.
And Jody Aura, I haven't seen Jody in forever. He was the LPW champion at House of Glory, I think. I don't know if he still is or if he just recently dropped it, but Jody is an absolute monster, and he is currently light years beyond anything I can physically do. And it brings a tear how proud I am of like seeing his progress. But it evolved over time. I had Felicia, Bree. They were at the Outbreak taping because we rigged the tag team rumble to have more teams. Still got outdone by pure ignorance. You know, it happens. You know, so when someone has your number, they have your number. That doesn't matter. doesn't matter what you do to cheat. You know, it was my Bradley upper crust the third moment. Doesn't matter how much I cheated, I still lost to Maxi. recently we added Jermaine and Jermaine News Network. We added we had Chris Slade with us for a little bit. We had a lot of good, really good guys come in. They did their spots, they got their bonnet, you know, they had a match with us. who else? Because there's folks I know I'm forgetting. So like a couple guys in GTS, Flash Carter, the starts with a V. He's right, literally right on the tip of my tongue. Both of them, Ace Hitman Jones, Vincent Cade, the Sexy Beast. Yeah, those two were some of my favorite people to tag with, because me and Vincent Cade came up with the idea that, like, what if just because we're silk and hair care, like, when you see us, we're actually a bunch of psychos. Like, we're a bunch of psychos that it's weirdly blood in, blood out to get in the group. Me and Vincent Cage had 5 cage matches about who got to decide the direction of Bonnet Club at one point. And the last match, I think, was excited. Well, probably one of my favorite. He hit me with an exploder, completely missed the turnbuckle, flew over it headfirst into the cage, and then rolled down the turnbuckle to the ring. One of my favorite throws I've ever eaten in my life. But, but fast forward to today, the Bonnet Club moniker, the name, and some of the imagery, not all of it, was recently sold to a fashion group in Texas.
Oh.
And I don't know if they're workers or not. They are mutual friends with a couple of workers down there. But, like, I don't know if they're actually workers, but or if they just wanted it, you know, for fashion or whatever. They just wanted to make merchandise with it. So we sold that off, the money from it, and the imagery and stuff from it is going to start the next step in the design. The current name we've landed on is Mob Society Hill. Very much a visual of Cypress Hill, G-Unit, Fight Club sort of stuff. That's where the Shiesties come in. I mean, you've met the nameless guys in Shiesties already. Yep. You know,
yeah,
very nice guys. You know, we get together every once in a while, a nice D&D session or two.
Yeah,
they're all thrown. Yeah, they're always are. They're always doing magic, always forming guns, and I'm like, guys, it's medieval. There's no guns, and you know, it's whatever.
Yeah,
you know, as long as they can get their Shiesties and they can throw hands, they're fine. it's what it comes down to. Getting these dudes that are all twice my size to, you know, focus. That's where it comes. That's the next phase. Cause I've gotten plenty of people to where I feel they should be, what they do with the platform. I don't know. I know I accomplished what I wanted to do for them. The next phase of guys, I've already got the guns ready to try to push up the next set of people. You know, like I get more enjoyment knowing I've helped someone get further in the business than, like, you know, stepping my way up to get to whatever. Cause, like, you know, if I do what I got to do, my due diligence, and I'm good peoples, I'll get to those platforms eventually.
Yeah.
But, like, why not use the platform I'm on, the following I'm on, to pull up some folks with me?
No, I like that a lot, man. I think that's a great thing. It's one of the things that I like to do. And that's kind of like why, you know, I was like, I'm gonna have this show. You know, also to educate myself in the process, but also it's going to give people like a bigger platform to kind of like launch off of, because it's a great, that this podcast is a great networking opportunity for everybody too. So
yep.
I dig it. Yo, we're going to take this over to my favorite part of the 3 Count podcast, which is the 3 Count podcast, 10 Count questions. And Mr. Gray, this is how it works. I'm going to fire off 10 questions at you rapid fast. Whatever your answer is, that is your answer.
Okay. Let's get it going.
We're going to put on the imaginary timer for added pressure. Mm-hmm. Bing. And in the words of my favorite commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
SmackDown.
Favorite movie?
Godzilla minus one right now.
Oh, okay.
Godzilla movies are always, but minus one currently.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Favorite cartoon?
Anything made by Tex Avery.
Like it. PlayStation or Xbox?
Oh, PlayStation.
Favorite actor or actress?
Actress Jessica Parker Kennedy. Auga, bark, bark. Actor, Jackie Chan.
Apple or Android?
Apple.
Favorite podcast?
Favorite podcast. Probably this is the most I've listened to a podcast in any strain of my life. You know, like this followed immediately by whatever the hell they're doing with the Nets declassified people. That is animalistic over there.
Nominate one person you'll see on this podcast.
Nominate one person I'd like to see on this. Oh no. Ron Killings.
Yes, 100%. Last but not least, my favorite question to ask every single person who comes on this podcast. Favorite curse word?
Medicus.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man. It's the second I leave that, I grew up Afro-Brazilian. My grandfather's like karate's for white kids and former imperialists, and you're gonna learn something a part of your heritage. So that's why I ended up doing capoeira for a long time. And the only thing that I knew for a very, very long time move your ass. I don't even remember it currently, because that's all my estragatorio would say to me, because I just didn't get it when I was a kid. But as I got older, I got the movements down, and then, you know, you learn a little bit of Portuguese here and there. And sometimes I need subtitles for my own thoughts, because if I'm not like directly involved in whatever I'm thinking about, it'll be in like, yeah, we'll do this. And then me aluste compasso de estragatorio negativo, aude man. Or, I can't say that to this guy. He doesn't know what I'm saying. and I'm like, okay. And he's like, what? Hook kick, cartwheel. And then we do everything else. And then, you know, so like a lot of Portuguese curse words just pop up in my head, especially if someone stiffs me. It's never in English. Like the amount of times I've been hit in the jaw, just like boom, puta. Like instantly. Like,
I feel that's a universal word that we can use, though. Like, because I know, like, every once in a while, like, I'll talk about somebody, and I'll be like, yo, man, FTP that dude. They'll be like, what? Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, fuck that puta right there, man. Fuck that dude. Mm-hmm. I live by that word. And then, like, I was just actually, you know, it's funny. I was telling my daughter this story today too. So. Like I was in Spanish class, right? And obviously it's an easy class for me to take. Yep. So in there, I was just acting a fool one day, and I grabbed the Spanish dictionary, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna go out here. I'm gonna help out everybody with their Spanish words. Here's three words I want you to learn for today. And we're just gonna open up the dictionary randomly. Bro, I knew exactly what page I was going to. So I was like, prima, primo, cousin. Prostituta. And then my teacher goes, get out of my class. I was like, what did I say? I was like, it's in the dictionary.
Like, it's right here. It's just words.
And then forgetting that she knows my mom, like, personally. So then I got home, and my mom just, she's like, prostituta, see? And I was just like, yeah.
And it's like, hey, mommy, it's your papa. Yeah,
but be so.
Yeah. que vos, what?
No, entiende.
Yeah.
Bro, all right, man. So the last thing I need you to do is to let our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you.
Oh, absolutely. I am on everything at James Gray all day. You'll be able to find me from some absolutely ridiculous Photoshopped image. Who knows if my hair will be accurate or not, because it changes every other month. But that is James Gray. Gray with an A. We're not in England. We're in America. America.
America.
Spelled with an A. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I want to say Epic Games, Steam. And all of it, Twitch, even Kick at one point. I don't ever plan on being on Kick, but I'll be damned if someone takes my name before I get it. You know, like, that's just how it goes. Except Threads. I don't know why I don't want to go to Threads. So don't steal my name.
I have all social media platforms the same way, because I don't care what platform comes out, even Blue Sky. I have the underscore Red Dog 85 locked down everywhere. I'm not letting that go. No one's taking my stuff.
Exactly. And that's where marketing is very important. And if people can find you because your name is the same everywhere, that's pro tip. Marketing is very important. Make sure your screen name is the same everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And even if it's XX Sniper Elite guy, like Sniper Elite Ultraman XX 92, like it doesn't matter how what it is, as long as it's the same everywhere.
Yep. And just like that, he gave you all of his handles. He told you where you could find them and even gave you instructions on how to market yourself better. But like every great part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home, because this is the Three Count Podcast presents Now Into Ring. And I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, a man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And like every good Sherpa, it's never about me. It's about who's into ring. So who's into ring? You see him right there. Mr. All Day Games Gray.
The advocate.
And you guys know what to do. Tune into the next episode and be there. Or you're legitimately just waiting for, you know, those comments. You're putting in those likes. You're even giving this out to all your friends to want them to listen to. But more importantly, you're subscribed to all of our YouTube channel. You're following us on all of our social media platforms. You're even listening to us to Amazon Music or iHeartRadio or whatever that jingle is that they do. You're doing all that stuff. Like I said, you're telling your friends. You're telling your mom. You're telling your dad. You're telling your sister. You're telling your brother. You're telling your cousins. You're telling your dog. You're telling your enemy, because we love haters too. Yeah, all that stuff. Leave those comments, shares, buying all of our merch. Or really, you're just kind of waiting for this episode, and you're waiting for the outro, and then you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii.
What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is to kind of show us some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the Three Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, Three Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, Three Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at Three Count underscore Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at Three Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast, or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, love y'all.